Derek, you know that we had so many places we could start the podcast tonight. I mean, it's been the better part of 10 days since you and I have last recorded a podcast, but I think we should probably start with the biggest news of the day.
Kawhi's shot?
No, no. I mean, John Beilein is going to the Cavs.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. As a big Ohio State guy, I know you probably have feelings about this, so why don't you break it down for all of the folks here on Cheaters Never Win, your feelings on John Beilein to the Cavs.
I think anything that makes Michigan sports, Michigan basketball worse is good by me. I know he was their head man for 12 years, got him to like 8 straight NCAA tournaments or whatever it was. But yeah, he's gone now, and that makes me happy.
Former pride of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
And took Canisius to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. We'll have Michelle McMahon from the Big Ten Network on to talk how this affects Michigan volleyball later. Okay, probably not.
Let's change gears then. We talked one NBA head coaching hire.
Okay.
The Lakers.
Yeah, Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy who's basically a 500 coach getting the most pressure-laden but figurehead job in all of the NBA.
Everybody thought it was going to be Tyronn Lue. Maybe the relationship with LeBron's not working out the way they thought it would, but it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah. This week is like the biggest sports week of the year. I mean, it's going to define the future for two franchises, really. I mean, that are going to come out of something that they've been working so long and hard for. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to get Zion Williamson?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we'll find out later this week, won't we?
Yeah, yeah. This is the week we'll find out that.
And if memory serves me right, too, I think this is the first time the PGA Championship's going to be played in May. I think the Preakness is this weekend, too, right?
And we are knee-deep in the second round of the NCAA men's lacrosse tournament. Unfortunately, my Johns Hopkins Blue Jays lost this past weekend to Notre Dame of, I don't know what conference they are in that.
That's going to be tough. I see that rookies in the NFL have reported now to the spring mini camps.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to see some position battles underway. Will the first round players start immediately? Any depth guys that were taken in the mid rounds, you know, turn out to be a surprise?
Yeah, I mean, like, what is Charlotte native Will Greer going to do to really separate himself from Tyler Henneke down there in Panthers camp? Later on the podcast, Mike Salarte from Spectrum News to talk Panthers rookie mini camp. Derek, I want to do anything but talk about what's happened in the last 5 days.
I would almost rather talk baseball. Almost.
Okay, Derek, talk baseball.
I saw a game went 15 innings recently. One of the teams won the game. I assume on a hit of some sort. I assume the home crowd was either overjoyed or completely deflated. Couldn't tell you which one, but it was probably one of those two.
Big fan of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Sure.
Shout out to voice of the Carolina Mudcats, Stadium, Five County Stadium, and a friend of the podcast, Hayes Permar. on this week's episode of the podcast, we'll have Hayes Permar on to talk about how to create a local triangle sports empire. I really don't want to talk about these games, Derek.
I think we owe it to the people, Mike, and you and I talked before we started. Even though we're putting things away, we got to give the people a reason to be positive, right?
Got to give the reason to people to be positive.
Oh, the people a reason, not a reason to the people.
We got to give positive people reasons.
Yes.
To lick Brad Marchand.
Ugh, then they'll definitely be positive for something.
Fuck that asshole and hit the X button.
Oh yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's Eastern Conference Final Edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we are still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
Whoa.
We're still drinking bottle mix beers.
Mm-hmm.
We're still buying houses from Don Meyer whenever we need houses. We're still here to talk to you folks. And you know what? We are still driving the Caniac bandwagon, Derek.
Damn right, it's two games.
Two games into the Eastern Conference Final. Boston media wants to bury us, Derek. Let's have the conversation, Derek.
Okay.
I'd like to know, when you drove here, did you drive here in an oval in your 1998 Chevy Camaro just so that way you wouldn't have to make a left-hand turn?
I did not.
Did you come over here on your hay baler driving solely on side roads so as not to impede the traffic of normal people?
I did not.
Did you show up here at the 328 worldwide headquarters wearing Carhartt overalls?
Nope.
They won the battle, but we won the war type of thing?
No, I didn't do any of those things, okay. Mike. And I think what gets me about the Boston media stuff, it really doesn't get me that much, but it's the laziness that's behind it. Like, all of these redneck, whatever you want to say things, that's dated, that's tired. It's like they just went back and saw some original Jeff Foxworthy material. And we're like, oh boy, this is fresh and current. Why don't we go play Pogs and listen to all of it?
Hey, I got an idea for all of you assholes up there. Guess what? Guess which city in the United States of America has more PhDs per capita than any other place in America? No, not your godforsaken big dig hole in the ground. Oh, we have MIT and Cambridge. You know what? Suck my big fat toe. North Carolina, the Raleigh-Durham Triangle, has more PhDs per capita than anywhere else in the goddamn country. So how about this? How about you get off my fucking front porch? I'll drink my sweet tea, eat my barbecue, and I'm gonna beat your ass in game 3, you bunch of son of a bitches. Jesus H. Christ.
Do you need a drink, or do you need like less drink?
I need all of the drink, Derek.
I can't tell which one it is. Like, are you here? Or are you here?
I'm tired of it.
But why let it get to you? Why?
Because Brad Marchand gets to me.
I understand.
It's the whole thing. It's
at least to me. Okay, look, I wanted to drive or fly up to Boston, whichever would be faster, based on whether or not their airport's having all the delays right now. You know, when he started getting into it with Williams and Williams grabbed his face in game 2, at least Brad Marchand keeps finding new ways to be a douche. At least it's not the same tired act of douchebaggery from Brad Marchand. At least it's different, and it still riles me up because I hadn't seen him mock a captain like that and point at the penalty box. That was at least new, and it angered me. If he went back to the old routine of licking somebody on our team, you go, come on. Quit playing the hits, Brad. Play something off your new album.
Yeah. We've earned the respect at this point, Derek.
So don't let it bother you. They're pushing the buttons. It's lazy, it's easy, and you're falling for the trap, Mike. Don't do that.
I get it, but we have never been one on this podcast to maybe ever defend Chip Alexander. But the lack of respect that was shown for someone who has done journalistically what Chip Alexander has done in the Raleigh market for the last 25 plus years, that was not only uncalled for, that was unprofessional. And again, I get it. I know what to expect from the most racist city in America. I know what to expect when I'm dealing with people who are really upset because they haven't had a championship parade in 75 days. You know what? When Tom Brady retires and all of a sudden they find out that he's not an actual human, he was actually a robot, and they have to forfeit all of those championship trophies. That's not happening, but God, that would be fun.
I don't trust a man who claims he's never tasted coffee.
I don't trust a man who doesn't want to have a tomato on his hamburger.
Like, I get it if you don't like coffee. But how have you gone 40 plus years and never tasted it? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe it.
Yeah. Here's all I know. Celtics crashed and burned when they were supposed to do so well. The Patriots, a bunch of dirty cheaters. The Red Sox, the current World Series champion Red Sox, are off to one of the worst starts in baseball. Now, again, they've come back and, you know, they say, oh, the Red Sox are back, but who cares? It's baseball. I just want a reason, Derek. The last four periods of hockey have given me no ability to retort because I know my role. And when you are getting thrashed mm-hmm. by 10 consecutive goals mm-hmm. in the Eastern Conference Final, it's best to just tuck your tail and bide your time. And Derek, I am so ready for our time to be here. And that'll be here tonight, Tuesday night. So Derek, let's talk a little bit before we get to game three. What went wrong in game one?
We let those, what I think and what Dougie thought were poor penalty calls, particularly the one where he was, you could say, bracing himself for a hit and threw the elbow up high and got called for interference. And I would say, to the letter of the law, it's probably the correct call. But when at the same time they ignore Svechnikov getting hit in the back at center ice when the puck was nowhere near it, it's hard to say the letter of the law is what the refs are calling. I think the team let those penalties to Dougie and the one quick power play goal just get in their heads. And then they let another power play goal in 28 seconds later. And that was that. And any kind of momentum or whatever they had going for them just completely vanished then in game one.
Yeah, I mean, it's as we sit here now down, you know, 0-2 in the series, and after the Bruins had put, again, 10 consecutive goals on Peter Mrazek, it's easy to forget that we dominated the first two periods of game one.
We absolutely were the better team.
Period two might have been one of our best periods of the entire playoffs.
Yeah, it was really strong, and then just things just got away from us in the third period of game one. But the problem is our special teams have been a dumpster fire in this series. And this is for as bad as they've been in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Our penalty kill, I think, Mike, you, me, and grab two other folks from the Section 328 crew, probably be just as effective right now as the Canes penalty killing unit is against the Bruins.
Yeah, it's... I'm
not sure how, but I think Boston's power play is 130%. In this series?
It's something really... Well, I can tell you in game two that their power play was 2-for-2.
Mm-hmm.
Our power play was 0-for-4.
Yes.
And by my account, that is a -6.
Okay.
So, -6, and then it was 6-to-2. So if we had, been able to... I mean, it's literally as simple as if you make them go 1-for-2 and we go 2-for-4, it's a tie game.
Well... Okay, I mean, that takes a lot of other things into account. I don't think you can simplify. Well, you obviously can simplify it that much, but I don't think that's
I don't even know if the math plays out. I don't think even the math plays out, but still.
Eric Tulsky is listening to this somewhere, his head just exploded.
Imploded. Eric Tulsky is so smart, and his capacity for learning is so great that my stupidity would actually make his head collapse upon itself and form the black hole, which basically sucks in all of humanity. Huh. So, I am sorry, for I have caused the end of civilization as we know it. I hate them so much, Derek. I get
you made that quite obvious earlier.
I mean, game two was tough to watch. Mother's Day, all of Meg's large adult sons were out there, and their job was to get Meg a goal. I went on Eastern North Carolina radio and predicted a 3-0 Canes win. It's just rough, man. Into game three, we're going to kind of transition a bit because,
I have some game two thoughts to share, sir.
Derek.
Yes.
Take the lead.
When was the last time you saw Jacob Slavin get deked like he did by Pastrnak on what turned out to not be a goal?
Jacob Slavin had a bad game.
He had a bad game. The second goal of the game.
Peter Mrazek had a worse game, by the way.
He absolutely did. Our defense was just letting guys camp out and get three consecutive shots in a couple seconds to score a power play goal.
One of the power plays, Derek, I'll interrupt you there.
Yeah.
Justin Falk and Calvin DeHaan are in front of the net. I believe it was the DeBrusque 3 tries.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin DeHaan does not move his feet 1 inch the entire time. Guys, move your... I'm watching that game and I'm like, anybody, for the love of God... just move your feet a little.
And it may have been the fourth goal where it was a 2-on-1 that Bergeron had the drop back pass. And there were two Canes defenders that both pinched on Bergeron when Falk was already there and the other guy just pinched on. It's like, why are you doing this? Just the math checks out of by two of you on him. Now it's a 4-on-3 for whoever else is there. Our defense was, I think they were over pursuing way too much. It was just so bad all around.
Yeah, the lack of the lack of composure. I think game two was the first time we really saw a lack of composure, and it started from the net out.
Mm-hmm. I think it was poor. Composure is a good word. I would also say discipline. I don't mean that strictly from a penalty-taking standpoint. I mean discipline, like you're saying, the discipline to move your feet to get in position, the discipline to know where you're supposed to be and don't go elsewhere. That discipline to the team game, I think that game was so bad that it's probably going to be easier to recover from than if it were a 4-3 overtime loss.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday's game was Game 5 in Washington. All over again.
Absolutely.
Game 5 in Washington, which was a complete just travesty. And we bounced back well from that in Game 6 here in Raleigh. And I hope that's Game 3.
Yeah. And I was talking to my wife yesterday, and it's like, look, if this were the way Game 1 went, I'd be more worried than the fact that it's Game 2. Because they get to say, you know what? It's been on the end of a road trip. We played like crap. We're going home. We're getting in front of our home fans, where the Canes have outscored both playoff opponents 22-7 in 5 home games versus, oh crap, that happened in game one. What's next in front of an even more rabid group of people that Mike really wants to invite to a barbecue?
You know, I'd like to invite them to a barbecue so that way you could actually have a conversation as opposed to a bunch of keyboard frickin' warriors, a bunch of stoolies, a bunch of good-for-nothings, because that's all they are. I look at it like this, Derek. It's going to be our asses on the line tonight at PNC Arena. Mm-hmm. The Caniacs need to show up. The team needs to show up. The front office needs to show up. The coaches need to show up. To a man and woman, everybody, 19,450 plus who are going to be in the building tomorrow night, plus the 20 players that make up the Carolina Hurricanes, plus the 3 coaches behind the bench. Everybody needs to have their best game of the postseason. So bring it loud. Bring it hard. Bring your ass out to the 328 tailgate.
Bring your Claritin, by the way. That's a good reminder there, Mike. Even though you can't see the pollen right now.
I'm dying.
It's the finer pollen that you can't see that really makes you sick. So the more you know on that one.
I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat this bourbon-covered cherry real quick.
That is always the best medicine. So Mike was alluding to the tailgate. We are back in the swing of things for the tailgate tomorrow. Our friends from Papa Murphy's are going to be there with a ton of pizzas. They haven't given us a number, but there will be slices. Come eat it. Our friends from New Belgium will be there with more beer, and rumor has it there may be some little trinkets there for the taking. So come on out. East Lot Grass, 2000s, by the big sign on Wade Avenue or I-40, wherever it is. It's the same place we've always been. Come on out. We can't wait to see you. The weather is supposed to be just chef kiss emoji perfect this afternoon. High like 70, low humidity. It's gonna be real nice, especially for the middle of May in Raleigh.
Yeah, it's going to be a great
Oh, good,
day.
You're alive.
I am. I'm going to make some sort of booze-infused punch.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part of things.
Yeah, we did have a good friend of a friend. We'll call him hashtag a friend of the podcast. Happens to work for a spirit distributor. And brought by more than a few bottles of Malibu rum. So I'm going to make some sort of happy-go-lucky beach rum punch for tomorrow afternoon's game to share with everybody over their 21 years of age. So that way we can all be in the proper mindset when we want to yell at the team that is in the black and gold and white tomorrow night.
And remember, it's an 8 o'clock start tomorrow night.
Yes. That gives us an extra hour to... properly lubricate.
Mm-hmm. And or pace, depending on how you need to play things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be out there till like 5:15, so I'm going to be putting that stuff on like Teflon.
Hmm.
Like spray on Teflon.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So, Derek, let's talk a little bit about Game 3.
Okay, let's do it.
What needs to happen for the Canes to turn the tide in Game 3? Question number one. Let's do this.
We're going McLaughlin group?
Let's go McLaughlin group. Question, topic number one, goaltender, Mrazek, McElhinney, who you got?
I think it's going to be McElhinney. He played so well when Mrazek was down. I think he was like, what, 3-0? It's something stupid, like a 950 save percentage. he played really, really well. I think it's not just the fact that Mrazek's let in a lot of goals. It's how he's let them in. Some have been maybe not his fault, but some have been soft goals. He's been very aggressive, and Boston's taken advantage of that. I think it's time to put McElhinney back in, see how he does, go from there. What would you do? I don't know that there's a right answer or a wrong answer.
I think you go with McElhinney just because it's a very different goaltending style.
Mm-hmm.
He is very calm. He is very quiet in the net. He is very calming in the net. And I think, you know, Justin Williams, you know, I think the turning, one of the, you know, maybe the turning point in the second half of the season was the road win in Florida and the diving, sprawling, overtime Peter Mrazek poke check in Florida. And then Sebastian Aho goes down and scores. And the team is playing as frenetic in front of Mrazek as he is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe a calming, steady influence like Curtis McElhinney could be the answer.
All right, Mike, what does the Canes penalty kill need to do to not be a dumpster fire?
Don't go in the box. We
oh, okay.
I mean, this is currently the best power.
Jesus, sir.
Sorry, the best power play.
Do we have any lozenge sponsors lined up?
Oh, I'm doing everything I got, y'all. It's the best power play in hockey right now. I mean, I know there's only four teams left.
and we're one of them.
Right. And the
so Canes, Boston's top three by default.
And we're also the worst penalty kill in hockey right now. So we have to do our best to stay out of the box. They are going to convert. When you've got, gosh, I mean, it's just Marchand and Bergeron and DeBrusque and
Pasta and Krejci and Chara.
It's just a really, really good power play. You got to stay out of the box. You've got to limit their opportunities. And I think, as importantly, the penalty kill needs a little confidence. They need a boost in the arm, and they need to do one. What do you think, Derek?
I totally agree. Jeez, you're killing me here, Mike. I think staying out of the box is key, but just like you said, with DeHaan not moving his feet, move your feet. Don't let the other team camp out in front of your goaltender.
I mean, that's good advice, Derek.
Thank you.
Also good advice taking a 10-minute break in the middle of this podcast, so that way I could try to, you know, take some meds and get rid of this cough, and I'm feeling a lot better now.
And by meds, did you mean exclusively bourbon?
No, bourbon later.
Okay.
Bourbon later. During game two of the Western Conference Finals, which have been quite entertaining.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to stay up for it.
Yeah, I'm going to stay up and watch it because it's good. It's good hockey. It's much. I need to bleach my eyes of game two. And I'm hoping that by watching game two of the West, I will go into tonight's game with a new perspective.
Hey, Canes fans listening to this podcast, if you want to give Mike some eye bleach recommendations, tweet at him. He is at mflanagan00. Tweet him your favorite eye bleach subreddit.
Oh, God.
You're welcome. Here's the thing. I haven't looked. I guarantee there's already a subreddit of just like r/eyebleach.
Well, no. Here's the problem. @turd underscore Ferguson X is probably the head redditor there as well.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
probably. Shout out to Turd Ferguson and all of those who went to the Epicenter Fire Festival down in Rockingham this weekend.
Oh my God,
that seemed like a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least you didn't have to stay at home and watch it like we did for game two. Game three, we've talked about it. Derek, I think we're going to see some lineup shifts. I wouldn't be surprised. Michael Ferland seemed like he had on his big boy jersey and was playing big boy hockey. Maybe Michael Ferland gets popped up to that top line again. Maybe give Sebastian Aho a little bit more room to move. I'm suspecting that we're going to see some line shuffling for when the teams hit the ice here at the PNC Arena. What do you think?
I don't think so, but I'm not opposed to it.
I mean,
how's that for a wishy-washy answer?
Just a new look. You know, just give us a new look, see what things, see if that sparks anything out of the gate. I also think the biggest difference in Game 3 is going to be our ability to control the matchups.
Yes, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, because it's been hard for us. And to be able to put Jacob Slavin out there against that Bergeron of Marchand line consistently is going to be a huge, huge help for us. To be able to put Jordan Staal out there against Bergeron consistently, I think, is going to help.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, keys to tomorrow night's game, stay out of the box. Actually get a little bit of momentum going. Control the matchups and win.
Stop a puck.
And stop a few pucks with Curtis McElhinney.
Yes.
Yeah. And let Steve Dangle just cry one more time.
Okay.
I mean, he loves Curtis McElhinney.
I know.
Anyway, game four, Thursday, another 8 o'clock start. We will be out there and tailgating also for game four. There won't be a podcast, obviously, between now and then. If for some reason that it has the potential to be the last game of the season.
I know you're covering your bases, but I don't like to think about it.
I'm just saying if it is, we will probably have some sort of salute to the boys, potentially in our little patch of grass out there. I think the series is going at least six, if not seven.
I am very good with that.
Yeah, because I believe the last time we lost a home game, Derek, it was March.
Here's the thing. Some perspective. For as much as Game 2 sucked, for as much as Game 1 was not enjoyable, whatever
Game 1 was enjoyable for 41 minutes.
For whatever Game 3, 4, and hopefully beyond bring, there are 27 teams who would happily trade places with us right now.
Yeah.
So let's keep that perspective in mind. We've been waiting 10 years for this. This has been fantastic. Let's keep it going as long as we can. I want June hockey.
Yeah. And if for some reason it doesn't go long, let's appreciate this team, the growth this team has made as one of the youngest teams in the playoffs. Just invaluable experience to beat the reigning champions, to actually get a sweep, and then to play a team that has been as good as the Boston Bruins have been all year. I mean, they're a team of veteran leaders that are, you know, on some of their last legs. I mean, Jesus, Zdeno Chara is almost as old as I am, and I am ancient. I almost died on air tonight.
Jaromír Jágr looked up to Zdeno Chara as a young boy in the Czech Republic.
Yes. Yes, he
did. Or Czechoslovakia back then. Prussia. Whatever the hell it was when Jágr was a kid.
The Prussian Empire. Let's go to... you know what, Derek? We could talk this all we want, but how far are we into this podcast?
Enough.
We're enough into this podcast. Let's go to the cheat mail and get some cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. It's hard to sing when your allergies are this bad. Or you're this bad at singing. Derek, first question. Who leads the way to a... This one comes from our buddy at Carl Kikas, K to the Arl. Who leads the way in a Game 3 victory?
Ooh, good question. I'm going to go with Svech.
The defender of the universe.
I like how Svech has been playing.
The defender of the universe.
I like what he's brought to the power play, even though the power play hasn't scored. It has been more dangerous because he's been on the ice. I think he's going to have a heck of a game tonight, and I think he's going to be the difference maker. Mike, who do you think?
I think it's Curtis McElhinney. I mean, your goaltender. Yeah. Your goaltender has to be your goaltender has to be your biggest influence after you gave up 10 consecutive goals in two games. I mean, there's no way to put it. I want to say the numbers were 10 goals on 34, 35 shots between the third period and, you know, the before we scored the, you know, the two goals there in the third period the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was a near 700 save percentage. That's not league average, and you know how we feel about league average goaltending.
Ooh, that's not good at all. Ah, damn. There we go. Got it back. Okay. This from our pal Will Looper at W Looper. On a scale, the Canes ultimately bow out. Where to set the bar for next season? I don't want to think about that yet. Apologies to Will. I will ask the second part of your question. Mike, on a scale of Justin Williams to Lars Eller, how much do you hate the Bruins?
Brad Marchand.
And is that above or below Lars Eller?
Lars Eller is irrational hate.
Okay.
Brad Marchand is way above him.
It's rational hate.
It is absolutely rational hate. I also think Brad Marchand would be a great player for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I mean, he's such a pain, and he put up 100 points this year.
Yeah.
He gets under your skin and is good at hockey.
Brad Marchand is Tom Wilson with skill.
I will disagree because I think Tom Wilson is a skilled player who chooses not to use his skill in lieu of just thuggery and just flat-out disrespect for people's well-being. Brad Marchand does some of that, but yeah, with more skill. Mike, what you got for me?
This one from our buddy Game Show Friday legend Matt Riegler. Ooh. Which storm surge would be best done over number 63's grave?
It would be a new storm surge, and it's because Brad Marchand is from Boston, and I'm seeing this stupid graphic that NBC Sports together put together of the Boston Three Party. I think going to Brad Marchand's grave with all of the unconsumed sweet tea brewed in the arena and just pouring it onto his grave.
I like that. I like that. I would choose the Bowling's for Svetch edition.
Okay.
Where Svetch slid down the aisle into the goal, and he stops immediately on Brad Marchand's grave, and then voids himself.
Good use of the word void as a verb. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. We already covered the goaltending question for tomorrow, let's say. From Chris at Bobel813, if Saku Manalainen can come back in the lineup tomorrow night, who comes out?
Ooh, if Saku Manalainen comes in the game tomorrow night, you have to... Oh, God. I don't know. I don't think Saku Manalainen has earned a spot. I mean, even if he is good, I don't think he's better than any of the guys who are currently on the ice. So I think him.
Yeah, the only name I could throw out there is maybe Gregory McKegery.
But he's been good. I mean, he hasn't been awful, and he's been...
No, it's not an indictment on him.
Hard, and I don't know if the skill set that Saku Manalainen brings, you know, puts forth anything on this team that, you know, Greg McKay can't do. So, great question, because we didn't answer it.
And I don't know who the first person to call Greg McKay Gregory McKegery was, but thank you for doing that, because now that's how I always see and hear his name.
Yeah. This is a fun one. Let's talk a little bit of fun stuff because we're going to win game 3 and 4.
I like fun, Mike.
This one from at Jason Mariani. He is at College Caniac. Who do you want to see sound the siren for games 3 and 4 at PNC this week?
Okay, let's just go with two names because they're doing one for each period, and, right. And us coming up with six names would be way too many.
Let's just go the initial siren sound.
Oh, man.
The big name.
The big name. This is not a political reason at all. But I'd love to see the governor on it. He's said he's a big Canes fan. I'd like to see the governor get the crowd going.
I like that.
Before one of the games. And for the other one, Mike, do you have one while I think?
I mean, the obvious one, and he's not coming because he's stuck in Guelph, but having Scott Walker.
Oh, that's good.
You know, having Scott Walker come back and ring it would be absolutely phenomenal. I think the other one, you want to get the fans fired up? Get Don Cherry to sound it. Yeah. Make him a jerk. Get him a bunch of jerk suit and let him sound the siren. Let him become a jerk just like the rest of us. Let his hypocrisy slowly eat his soul.
I don't have another answer, but related to Don Cherry, this one comes from our friend Kelly Hoover at Kelly Hoover 27. F Mary Kill. Rewatching game 2 for 15 hours, a 15-hour flight stuck next to Don Cherry, or debating the Skinner trade for 15 hours.
Oh, that is so easy. I will kill debating the Skinner trade because there is no debate there. I will marry rewatching game 2 because there are many things we can learn from our weaknesses, and I will F Don Cherry because, you know, the guy has seen more hockey in his lifetime than many of us, and the ability to learn from him a little bit as a hockey mentor would be great.
So I'm gonna disagree with you a lot. I'm gonna kill rewatching game 2 for 15 hours. We've seen that. We can move on. I will agree with you. I'm going to F the Don Cherry one, and I'm gonna marry debating the Skinner trade for 15 hours because I think there are many sides of that to discuss. if I wanted to. I don't. Let's make that very clear. I'm not trying to bring that up again. But I think there are a lot of ways you could go with that Skinner trade. So that's where I'd go with that one. Mike, before you keep dying on us, what else you got?
This one comes from a great question from Hunter Tyson 30.
When you said great question, I'm like, I know where you're going.
Chris Terry's Italian sub abomination, and those of you who may be new listeners to the podcast, Chris Terry once created a namesake Italian sub for local grocery chain Harris Teeter and put hummus on a sub.
This was an Italian sub, and yes, I did air quotes on an audio-only podcast. Not only was there hummus on it, he put cheddar cheese on an Italian sandwich. You know, classic Italian cheese.
Yeah. Cheddar and hummus. So Chris Terry's abomination or the game two poop sandwich, which is more unappetizing?
The poop sandwich.
Absolutely the poop sandwich. Because Chris Terry's Italian sub, while it is something that I never, ever, ever want to have to taste again, was something that I could actually digest and has brought many of us joy because we were able to actually confront Chris Terry and his giant eyebrows one day about his abomination of a sandwich.
Better eyebrows, Chris Terry or John Madden?
Well, Chris Terry.
Okay.
Chris Terry.
And we did get a couple people asking us about making a poop sandwich t-shirt and selling that, and I would like to reply with, you really want to wear a shirt that says poop sandwich?
Yeah.
If you do, holla at us. We are for the people. But my first thought is, I don't want to wear a shirt that says poop sandwich.
I'd rather wear a shirt that says Marty Party on it.
Yes.
You know, available now at section328.com/store.
Mike, I have one here for you. We had somebody who asked something related to Barstool. I don't want to talk about them at all. In fact, I'm upset at myself that I even mentioned them in any way, shape, or form. But I think there was one other F. Mary Kelly I really wanted to ask you. Here we go. Zach Bradshaw at Zach Bradshaw 6. F. Mary kill the remaining playoff teams in order of how much you want to play them.
I will marry the Bruins because I want to play them at least 5 more times. 4, maybe 5.
There you go. Okay.
And then I will F the St. Louis Blues and I will kill the San Jose Sharks because I want absolutely nothing to do with that team that is currently steamrolling out west, and they look so good. Joe Pavelski is back. Joe Thornton wants his Stanley Cup. Brent Burns and Eric Carlson are just, you know, playing lights out. That Timo Meier goal the other night was just
filthy.
Never go full for Forsberg, and he went full Forsberg on him.
Mike, you had the right answer. And look, if the Canes can't win the Cup, I want nothing more than San Jose to win the Cup on the back of a 4-goal performance by Joe Thornton, and I want him to accept the Stanley Cup from Gary Bettman, shirt cocking it. Full Winnie the Pooh, cup over his head, 2 giant beards.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Derek, thank you. Thank you to our sponsor tonight, one of which was... Don from Don Meyer from Fathom Realty. We did not have a guest tonight, unfortunately. We were not able to catch up with any of the guests we had reached out to, seeing as how it is so busy in Canes land and Bruins land. So thank you to those who were going to be considered for tonight's podcast. But thank you to Don for always sponsoring the Caniac Realtor guest line.
Yes, it's spring. A lot of people buying and selling houses. If you're buying or selling, go to becauseitshome.com. Talk to Don. She will take great care of you.
Absolutely. Also, Derek, Bottle Mix, good brew. I see an IPA on the other side of the worldwide headquarters desk here. Tell me all about it.
So this is one I had not seen before. This is a rustic IPA. It's the 25th anniversary ale from Highland Brewing up in Asheville. They were Asheville's first legal brewery after Prohibition. Shout out to Brewconomy. If you want to see about North Carolina craft beer, go to brewconomy.com. Anyway, this beer was brewed by Highland in collaboration with Sierra Nevada, and it is a blend of Motueka, Zappa, Azaka, and Strata hops, which echo the aromas of fresh peaches, pineapple, and lemongrass. So two really good breweries, both of which are in Asheville. And that description of peaches and pineapple was like right up my alley. It's a beautiful day today. The tailgate's going to be great. This is that kind of beer where it's like just that fresh fruit, that tropical deliciousness that's perfect for spring into summer. And when they say it has aromas of peaches and pineapple, They are not lying. It's almost like a, and not in like a sickeningly sweet way. Like it wasn't canned in syrup. It was canned in water, but like a fruit cup kind of aroma to it. But it has a good hoppy backbone, and the brightness of that lemongrass just round out this beer so nicely. Each sip finishes dry enough that you're not overwhelmed by fruit, but there's enough of that peach and pineapple to it where you're like, oh man, I really want another sip of this beer. It's fantastic. It comes in a 16-ounce can. It's 5.8% alcohol, so it's not too bad at all. Uses a lot of local ingredients in here. They have stuff from Riverbend Malt House and other local folks that they talk about on the can. So doing right by local beer makers and folks who contribute to local beer. So go by Bottle Mix. Check out the Highland Brewing Rustic IPA. Check out any other styles you want there as you make your way out to the East Lot on either Tuesday or Thursday. And check the chalkboard at the back of Bottle Mix or go to bottlemix.com. It's Bottle Mix with two X's. They have so many wine and beer tastings and really cool things going on that you don't want to miss out on. So go there, talk to Bruce, talk to Vinny, talk to Ron, talk to Ellen, talk to any of the folks there, and they'll hook you up with some great beers and wines.
Or, you know, you can just go get one of the old Rasputin stouts, Imperial double stouts, I think, which are clocking in at, you know, just north of 12%. Bring yourself three or four of those to the game.
Sir. That's a lot.
I have words to have with Brad Marchand, and I need to be properly intoxicated to be able to say those words. Folks, our apologies for not only all of the bad words we said tonight, but our apologies for my inability to talk, cough, or do anything.
Oh, you were quite able to cough.
Well, to do it professionally.
Oh, okay.
I could have coughed much more professionally, Derek. You guys...
As a point of order...
exactly.
Robert's Rules of Podcasting.
You guys are the absolute consummate professionals of listening to this podcast. You guys know how to do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Go over to patreon.com/section328 to support the podcast. You are helping fund the Section 328 trip up to Vancouver, which is confirmed,
buddy,
and formalized. Myself, Mr. Worker, and Pat Clark will all be making our way to Vancouver when the Canes pick somewhere around 31st, hopefully, as well as 36th and 37th. And we will provide you all of the details of everything going on in Vancouver, introducing you to the newest Hurricanes and giving you a Caniac's view of what it's like to go to the draft in Western Kanakistan.
Mike mentioned the Patreon, but one thing we do every month for our supporters at the $10 and $20 a month level is we send out reward shirts based on the level that you pick. So we sent out half a dozen or so shirts at the beginning of this month. So thank you to all our Patreon supporters for that. We love giving back to the folks who help support us and support things like the draft, support things like the tailgates, support things like keeping the website up and the podcast hosting up, because those things take money.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all of your support.
Yep. Again, the sponsors, Bottle Mix, Don, the folks who have helped out at the tailgate. We can't say enough thank yous to the folks over at Papa Murphy's Pizza who have been providing us with pizza. Johnny's Pizza, who filled in when the Papa Murphy's guys were down in Talladega. Our friends over at the Spirit Company who brought us Malibu and Jameson to make sure everybody was good. The folks over at New Belgium RDU and Bond Brothers and everybody else who has kind of stopped by who have made these tailgates just absolutely phenomenal. Thank you guys very much. Thank you guys for supporting those people who are not only just sponsors, but people who are, you know, taking money out of their pocket to help make this a great welcoming space where everybody can come, hang out, have fun, not be judged, talk a little bit of hockey, not have to show up with a cooker and a whole bunch of things, but can just show up and have a little bit of fun and make some new hockey friends. We have made an absolute ton of new friends this postseason. We can't wait to kick off next year's season with all of them, but I think we still have 12 games to play between now and then, Derek.
I like the way you think, Mike.
Yeah, me too. Until then, I'll see you guys 1400 Edwards Mill Road. And Brad Marchand, I'm coming for you.
Freezing.
Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
And I'm still coming for you. We're out of here.
Pyaaaaa!